and welcome to another episode of Juicebox Music Podcast. You know who it is. I'm your host, Hunter McClamrock. On the other line, on a roller coaster stuck on its loop-de-loop, it's Nick Moreau.
What's up?
What's up, Nick?
Hey, happy to record this first official, normal episode of the year.
Yeah. Back on track.
After our lists, you know, we're back on track.
One more year until we do those lists again.
Yep. All right. So what have you been listening to these last couple months?
Well, I'll start off with a couple of albums. You know, I thought this has been a great start of the year. In my mind, there's been a lot of new records. I think the month of January was dominated by a couple of sort of pop records from our friends in the British Isles. I really love this album, Seeking Thrills by Georgia.
Okay.
This is her sophomore album. It's been a while. You know, she came out on Domino Records as a teenager with kind of a singer-songwriter album. All you 90s electronica heads, her father was part of the duo Left Field, who were a pretty big electronic group out of the UK in the 90s. And she has embraced that side with this just really fun sort of Robin-esque dance floor pop record that has kind of, you know, pushed away the January blues for me in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. I haven't actually listened to it. I need to catch up on it. Sounds amazing.
Well, it's really, really fun. It's like, I mean, I guess Robin would be the easiest touchstone because the lyrics are, you know, emotional but the pop songwriting is like unparalleled. And I think it also has a great album cover. It's like these young girls like just in a state of ecstasy on the dance floor, but like, that's just really perfectly fits the album. I think it's just it was not at all what I was expecting for her. I was not checking for like a new Georgia record at all. And a friend of mine recommended it, you know, that I listened to one of the singles when it came out, and I was just shocked. And the whole album, you know, is fun all the way through.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to add it as we speak. It sounds great. And I'm getting my advice from Hunter right now.
Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, this is what this podcast is all about, you know, these little check-ins, Nick.
Yeah.
I got to have somebody to talk to or else I just go crazy here listening to all these records on my own.
Yeah, I get it.
And then the other one, you know, that I may like even better, but this one I was checking for. This is the second album from The Big Moon. If you remember, I think the first year we did a top 10 list, their first album, their debut album, Love in the Fourth Dimension, made my list, my top 10 list for that year. And the follow-up album is fantastic. You know, they came to Atlanta, actually, to record this album and kind of got out of their element, even though I don't think they've ever toured in the United States, which is something that they need to change. But this is called Walking Like We Do, and I'm just really impressed by this band and the front woman, Julia Jackson, who I just think is, she's the songwriter, and she's kind of like the engine behind this band, and I find them to be, you know, I love her lyrical perspective, and there's not a bad song, there's not a dud on this album at all. It's kind of a great, another great album to like, to come out in the middle of the winter, because it's actually kind of a summery thing. Sounds great with your windows down in your car, and it will be something that I'll be listening to, I think, all year long.
Does it ever winter in LA though?
you know, this week it's sunny, it's 80 degrees outside right now, but it hasn't always been like that, Nick, for the last couple months. We're kind of breaking out of it. Our winter, you know, winter ends in about mid-February.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I actually haven't had time. It's on my list. I haven't had time to check out the new Big Moon album. So I like the first album, Love in the Fourth Dimension. So I'm excited to go check that out as well.
Yeah, I want to say like they, you know, there was a little bit of a surprise with this record, like because it's, it's kind of stuck with me. I think lyrically it's got a lot to offer. It reminds me of this band. I don't know if you ever listened to them in the first part of the 2000s, called the Long Blondes, and the singer from that band, Kate Jackson, who put out a solo album a couple of years ago that I actually really liked. The lyrics are kind of wry and arch and funny in a way, but there's a lot of care and thought put into these songs. Another band that it makes me think of from time to time is Pulp, who of course is one of my favorites. And all these songs are just like super tuneful and memorable. So, they tour too as a backing band for Malika Hackman as well sometimes, but I think they're opening for the Pixies in Europe, so I think that they're on the way to bigger things. What about you, Nick? What else should we be checking out? Give me some recommendations.
Well, I feel like you've probably listened to all the ones I was going to bring up, but I'll talk about a couple before maybe we talk about the big ones we have planned on talking about. But another surprise release by Against All Logic. This one is called 2017-2019. And we talked about it a little bit via text, but it is my first impression of it was that it was, a little different than his previous release under that moniker, but still very kind of Nicholas Jarry. But the more I listen to it, and I tend to agree with your assessment that it is very different than like the previous release. It's not as house or like Nicholas Jarry's take on house music. It's a little bit more maybe closer to his like self-titled releases under his self-titled name, if you know what I mean. But I really like it. Like, gosh, it's, I mean, he's such an artist with like just the craft of sound, and I think, he pays so much attention to like the little details, even down to little pops that you really get to hear on good headphones and stuff. And this album, I think surprised everyone, just like his previous release under that moniker, and just really is one that like I'm gonna keep listening to all year long as
Well, why do you
well.
think he uses the name Against All Logic? Does that have something to do with the release of the songs? Like, aren't they usually these albums have been a collection of songs released over a period of time?
Well, it's the first one definitely, like it was a collection of recordings he'd done for 5 years, but this one just feels like a regular follow-up. It doesn't feel, at least doesn't have that vibe that the first one did, where it was more, kind of this 5 year oeuvre. This is more to me like, hey, here's the new release. Even though it says 2017 to 2019, it's kind of like it's just his new album, basically.
Maybe that
I don't.
concentrated period of time it is what leads it to be to sound, different than that previous release and kind of have its own sound going.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. The other thing that's that I love about this album, it's only 45 minutes, really, so it's not that long. His previous album under that moniker was fairly long, at an hour and 7 minutes. So this is a little more digestible.
This man puts out a lot of music.
He does, and his the other people record label does a. I think it's his label. They release a lot of good stuff too. And one thing that I was thinking about is like, will we ever see a Dark Side record, a new Dark Side record? Because I would be welcoming that very with open arms.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that they are still a going concern or not. I kind of thought that was a one-off, but I don't know. I would love that. It's been a long time now, right? About, what was that, 2012,
12.
2013?
Yeah,
Somewhere in
it's
that
been a
range.
while.
It's been a
Been a,
while. We're in
yeah. So
2020 now, Nick. Can you believe
new decade,
it?
new decade. So yeah, great album, great surprise release early in the year. I think, perfect kind of record to come out in the winter when things are rainy and gloomy here. Kind of
Well,
keeps
I'm
you
just
upbeat.
listening to sun shining dance floor music out here, Nick. So You can see where my head's at.
Exactly. Another release that I think you've had maybe a chance to check out is Grimes' new album, Miss Anthropocene.
I was going to wait for you on that one.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't bring it up. So, yeah, this is Grimes' new album. She is kind of her first album as like a legit pop star, I would say.
Is that what we're going to call her? Okay.
You're coming out with some zingers here. and I was very, very surprised by this album. I really like it. I think it's still weird in the Grimes way, but some of these songs are just so catchy and poppy compared to maybe some of her earlier stuff. And I actually really admire kind of the craft of like the song making that she's developed. I'm curious to know how you feel about it, Hunter.
Well, I did it for you, Nick. I sacrificed my eardrums for about 45 minutes to this new Grimes record. This is the first time I've made it through an entire Grimes record. I really think it's because it's dedication to you. I think she is not untalented. There are some production moments on this album that I thought were like truly impressive. There's so much try hard with listening to her that it makes me feel like I have to really try hard myself when I put on one of her records. There's nothing that really speaks to me emotionally with her music, and I think that's part of the problem here. I will say there's an impressive amount of styles on play here. It's just that I wish she was a better pop star, I think is where I'm coming from. She obviously wants to compete in the pop world and be a part of it, but you know, her pop moves aren't even up to like Halsey level. And I think there's a lot of gimmickry to get, you know, what I'm looking for, which is a more straight ahead kind of pop thing. Like I think what her talents would be better suited for being a little, less poppy,
yeah,
for example, and maybe a little more punishing or a little bit more avant-garde, because I don't think she has the songwriting chops to really, you know, write a true like classic pop song.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I don't know. I feel like this is the perfect kind of state that she's in. It's kind of, I feel like it's like maybe the best version of Grimes we have seen and we will see, and I find it very endearing. Even though like the album, some of the themes are pretty dark in a way. the song "Violence" is one of the best songs on the album, but also like the lyrics can be quite concerning.
Well, but, I want to say I do respect her as a provocateur, and I really wish there were more artists kind of like that in the world, because you know, God knows we need more interesting pop stars and more interesting rock stars in general, because there aren't really any. You know, we're looking at like Lewis Capaldi and Taylor Swift, and like I mentioned Halsey before. You know, there's like interesting, like, you know, I wonder if when I look at like, for example, Billie Eilish, who is everywhere, won every Grammy, her album, she's probably the most popular pop star in the world right now. There's something about her imagery that I wonder if, you know, it reminds me of like, her album cover could be a Grimes album cover. But
For sure.
But the music is fairly traditional pop stuff. Whereas, I'm not really sure what's happening on a lot of these songs on this album. I sent you a screenshot of me listening to the album earlier. I think that was the third track or so on the album. Yeah. It's a collaboration with, I believe, a Japanese artist.
Am I not right? Sure. I'm not actually sure.
Very confusing song. And then it's followed up by like a song that sounds like a Cranberries B-side.
Or like an Oasis song. Doesn't it sound like an Oasis riff, though?
Well, there are some acoustic guitar going on in there, but, you know, I don't know if I want to bring in, you know, I don't want to disparage the name Oasis on this podcast in this way. You know, in some ways, Nick, I don't know, let's go ahead and bleed into a conversation. We didn't really talk about in advance what albums we were going to talk about on this podcast, but listening to this Grimes record, I saw some certain parallels with this new Tame Impala album, which we agreed to talk about on this episode. The Slow Rush. This is the fourth album from Kevin Parker and his alias Tame Impala. Now, does Grimes? I forget what her actual name is. Does she, is she a one woman operation, like Kevin Parker?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, you know, the songwriter and pretty much records all the music. There are some featured guests on this album, but I was thinking about, you know, the way that she operates and the way that Kevin Parker operate and coming and the way their relationship with, you know, pop music and pop songwriting a lot while listening to this Grimes record. I had listened to the Tame Impala album a number of times before I sacrificed myself and listened to that Grimes record, but it was definitely, there were definitely parallels coming to mind.
Really? Huh. Yeah, I can see that.
Not really in the sounds of the albums, but just in, I think, the way that they're composed and...
Yeah.
Some of the, you know, the songwriting, like it, they're definitely pushing the production to the forefront as opposed to the actual construction of a pop song in my mind.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, especially the early part of the Grimes album. I feel that way. And I think it's pretty prevalent throughout the Tame Impala album.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about this album, The Slow Rush, and if we want to go back to Grimes during this conversation, we certainly can.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a game, I'm a sport. I just wonder, you know, it may also, before we go on that, I was thinking about, like, she's compared to Bjork a lot.
Yeah.
But there's something
Canadian Bjork.
Canadian, yeah, there's something about Bjork's relationship to pop, which is, you know, something that I don't think she has been interested in for like 20 years now. But but when she was, that it just felt like more of her own thing instead of, I feel a little bit like she's trying to shove pop music on top of what it is that she's really good at.
Yeah.
Which is a weird criticism to come from me, because I usually like things to be, you know, hookier and you know, be more, competing more for mainstream ears.
Yeah. I think, you know, I agree. I think this is where the comparisons to Bjork stop, though, with this album. Would you agree with that?
Probably. I wouldn't, like, listening to this, it's just the fact that she's a one, you know, named female artist who's working kind of on the fringes of avant-garde in the mainstream. But beside that, the actual music doesn't have anything to do with Bjork.
But even in the attempt, I think this is maybe where I could see kind of the parallels before a little more than I can now, if that makes sense. And I think that Grimes is, I get the feeling that with this, she's making a statement that she's embracing kind of this, straddling that fine line between very pop music to like kind of more introspective singer-songwriter music, which is a weird thing to say given her music, but it is still kind of a singer-songwriter attempt to me.
Well, definitely are elements of that, and that was surprising listening to it. I think is it that third song, Delete Forever? That's kind of an acoustic,
it's a good
jam.
Song.
Yeah, I don't know.
You like it.
You know, sometimes music grows on me, when I, you know, some of my favorite albums didn't really do much for me the first time I listened to it, but rarely does something that I have this strong of a reaction to grow on me. But we'll see, you know, once these songs take over the airwaves, maybe I'll have no choice but to fall in line with it.
There we go. So what about this Tame Impala album, Hunter? I am curious to, I mean, you've talked about it a little bit, but let's go. Let's dive in.
I think it's going to be complicated to talk about. I'm still working out some of my feelings on this record, so I'm looking forward to speaking with you about it a little bit here today. Where were you at? Kind of, I feel like Tame Impala, this is their fourth album. You know, they've gone from starting out as, you know, they're from Perth, Australia, coming at this strange kind of psychedelic band. That had sort of echoes to 1960s music, especially on their first album, Inner Speaker. And, you know, they become this kind of festival headlining arena band that with their last album, Currents, which is now, that's 5 years old at this point, I think.
Yeah.
Taking on more electronic and keyboard textures and also a little bit more pop music. This album, we'll say the first thing it is that this album reminded me of is a certain album that was very big in the last decade that made your top 10 list that you constantly send me pictures of trucks with the initial RAM, Random Access Memories. That's the first thing I think of when I'm thinking of this album, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I will say that the record surprised me in some ways, and sort of changed the way I think about Tame Impala in general, but I don't know if it's for better or worse. I think there are some really good songs on here. There are some songs that I think are kind of filler. There's some lyrics that I'm not down with. There are, you know, I don't know if any of these songs would hold up if played. Well, a few of them would actually, if played on like acoustic guitar or piano.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's like so much fun to listen to for the most part. It's like peak background music. Like it's very high quality background music when I'm thinking about it. Does that make sense at all?
It makes sense. I mean, where were you at with Tame Impala before this album came out?
It's kind of funny. Like, I can't say that I was super hyped for it. I was excited. I wanted to hear it. It almost felt like it had been too long since Currents, in a way. Which was an album that I was really hyped for when it came out. Really liked it. And then I think I don't think it's held up as well as I thought it would in the 5 years since. And I go back to their second album, Lonerism, I think is probably their best album. The one that's kind of, it's more of a rock album, but it's takes on some of the elements that they're going through in Currents, but Currents was quite different. And this is an extension of Currents for sure.
It's the end of that thread a little bit.
I think he's, Kevin Parker is unbelievably talented. You know, there's not that many one person bands like this who, like, you know, he's so good at so many different things. Like, he's one of my favorite bass players in any band, probably. Although there's not, like, I don't hear a lot of, like, actual bass playing on this album like there was on some of the other ones. But I can say that I would say this, I thought it met my expectations for a Tame Impala album in 2020.
Okay. Well, I think that's pretty, not a low bar.
No, it's not. Yeah. And, you know, it's, the album sounds impeccable. Yeah. And they're still the kind of band that, I said this before about them, like for years, is that I don't really know anybody who doesn't like them.
I do.
Really?
Yeah, my wife cannot stand them.
Really? What is it? Is it his voice?
I
Is
don't
it?
know. I've asked. I don't know. Because I think like part of her argument is, especially with kind of inner speaker and lonerism, was like it felt like somebody trying to do psychedelic 70s music. But I think that there's about 150 bands that we could probably name that have a style that is probably like more retro than that. So I don't know that. I don't really know. I don't. She, and I don't think she really knows either. But that's one example of somebody I know that doesn't like Tame Impala. But I was just where I was with Tame Impala. I was not really excited about this album to come out. And for probably because I really like Lonerism. I loved the first few singles on Currents, and I think we've had this conversation, but I listened to them so much that when the album came out, I just was kind of not in the mood to listen to more Tame Impala. Even though I like Currents, it was just not. And I like Currents more as the years have gone on. So I wasn't really looking forward to the Slow Rush, and I actually didn't really listen to the two singles he released, Borderline and what was the other one? Because they didn't make it to the
Patience. That
Patience.
didn't, yeah, Patience is the one that didn't make it to the album.
And actually, Patience is the first one that came out, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was a weird single I thought to put out. I listened to it once, and then I listened to Borderline once, and then I didn't want to listen to too much of it in fear of like getting kind of over my Tame Impala, appetite. And I was pleasantly surprised with this album. I really like it. I don't think it's as good as Lonerism, but I think it's very consistent. I think because to your comment to like the perfect background music, I think every song is just kind of like a nice like eight, and just stays there. There's not many peaks and valleys, I think. I think it's a little long. There's some songs I wish were a little shorter, but I do think like Borderline might be one of their three best songs.
Yeah, that's a highlight on the album for sure.
The lyrics of that song, I was curious to know like how those resonate. Like it definitely feels like an LA album. Do you feel that too?
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I know he recorded it here and in Perth. He had to evacuate his house during the fires in Malibu last year that he was renting while recording this album. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have lost anything because the work that he does seems so painstaking. But yeah, I mean, I with the songs, like, he's doing something now. And I guess he's always done it, but it seems with the change in sound and with it being less like sort of rock band sounding and more, I don't know, he's moving more into like, yeah, like what I think of as like Daft Punk territory. And it is a collection of like hooks, and most of the hooks hit. And like most of these songs have like four or five hooks going on in them. And circling back to them. And it's like, I don't even know if these are songs, but they sound really good. Like, the more I thought about this album, like, I don't even know what this music is. But I
Well,
put
this
it
feel
on and
yeah.
I listen to it, because I want to listen to it, because it is like, it's definitely pleasurable music to have on, especially like doing anything around the house, in the car. It's not dull. And you know, I still really like, I know a lot of people criticize his voice, but I really like his voice and the kind of like John Lennon quality of it, which I mean, he's kind of leaned against that a little bit, but it's still there to me.
Yeah, I think I really like his voice too, so I'm a big fan. But
I mean, I noticed
I
that when he writes songs for other artists, because he's been doing that some in between these two albums, he's worked with Lady Gaga and Mark Ronson and some different people, it doesn't work as well. So I think there's something that he can do in his own ecosystem and universe that nobody else can do. And I mean, obviously, if you become a rock band or a semblance of a rock band in the last decade that is headlining festivals, you're doing something that people are like really attached to and responding to.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, I think this is like from the get-go, this feels like a solo album. Do you mean, aren't they all solo albums? But this feels like more than the other ones, like by a long shot.
I mean, but I don't know. But I think he's played every instrument on every album, right?
Yeah, but even like, I don't know, it feels just more like more of a personal album to me than.
Like he's trying to present it like thematically, it's more of an introspective album. Like it's not, he's not writing it to be presented as a rock band kind of, or as like
yeah,
a band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. It does seem there's something definitely solitary about it to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think like, you know, when you see, even when you see them live, when you see him and the band live, it never felt like a Kevin Parker only song, but now yeah. It just really does feel that way.
Yeah, I was thinking about the times I've seen them live, and the first time I saw them was just as Lonerism came out, I believe. And it was in, you know, like a club, not a super small club, but in a medium-sized one. And I don't even know if I knew at the time that Kevin Parker recorded it all. I knew he was the songwriter. But mm-hmm. They definitely felt like a band.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bass player is the front man in Pond now, is no longer in the band. And I think, you know, he was a lot of integral to the energy on stage. So some lineup changes could affect that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you saw a couple of days ago, he was interviewed, I think in Australia, or not quite sure. On the Beats, on Beats One on Apple Music. And
Kevin Parker, Zane Lowe?
I think it was with Matt Wilkinson.
Oh.
I guess he picked like five best songs, five of his favorite songs. And he picked a Daft Punk song, a Led Zeppelin song, a Kanye West song. But then I guess he talked about Alex Turner and just like talking about how Alex Turner is in another league as in terms of being a songwriter, which I find pretty cool that at least Kevin Parker has admiration for Alex Turner, because I always felt like, you know, he's an amazing songwriter too.
Yeah, he is. And I know Kevin Parker, I would be curious to know, but I get the feeling that these songs are sort of constructed from the ground up, mm-hmm. you know, and he's layering things. And I wonder like how he gets his ideas for lyrics and melodies, if, you know, he kind of puts the track together first and that comes later, or if it's all kind of tied together. But, you know, just thinking of like a stripped down version of this album, I can't really imagine it.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
Now, there's a few songs like maybe Lost in Yesterday or something that I can kind of see as more of like rock songs, but
yeah.
A lot of them are so like there's a lot of subtlety to the textures and the instrumentation. I just that it contributes so much to the it's such they have such a sound, you know.
Yeah. But it is definitely like a. When I haven't done the experiment, but listening to this Slow Rush and Lonerism back to back must be an interesting kind of. I mean, they're such different albums.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to do, I think. But anyway, I really like it. I'm gonna keep listening to it. Again, I guess I was pleasantly surprised because I didn't expect it. I didn't expect to love it. So
it's one of those things where the kind of intellectual part of my brain, because my brain isn't entirely intellectual, apparently, wants to push back against it. But, you know, like I've been listening to it a lot, and just because I want to listen to it, because it sounds good, and because I like spending time, you know, inside Kevin Barker's head. It's just like an, it's just a kind of a comforting place to be in a way. That, you know, I definitely recommend this album. It's better than, I think it's better than I thought it was going to be, but they might run the, he might run the risk of being somebody that we take advantage of a little bit. And, you know, every time he puts something out, it's like, oh, okay. And then it comes out and you're like, oh, that's pretty good. That's actually, you're like, oh yeah, yeah. This, he might be like a pretty talented guy, you know?
I think he definitely is.
So I see them being less and less cool and less relevant as time moves forward, but probably still making quality music. I would like to see him, I don't know, make something work in the pop world as a songwriter. It seems like something he wants to do, but
yeah, he's definitely tried.
You know, he doesn't, they don't really sound like many other bands. Like the way his melodies are, you know, they definitely sound like Kevin Parker and Tame Impala.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they make sense for a lot of other artists, but we'll see. I think, you know, I wouldn't doubt him either.
Yeah, I agree. Well, cool.
So maybe I can just get there with Grimes, you know, where I can just enjoy it on a, I don't know what level it is, but, you know, it feels a little bit like when I was listening to it, to go back to the Grimes record.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I would like to see her do is a musical. Could you see that?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
You know, it'd, I could kind of, with a, you know, strong, like, visual component and kind of, because she's so theatrical. And,
she is, yeah.
And also, she's striking herself to look at. So, I don't know. She's going to be a mother. We'll see what motherhood does to her.
Yeah, that's right. And
I heard that she's giving birth in a Tesla truck. Did you know that? Like the,
shut up.
Yeah, the Cybertruck. She's going to give birth in the back of a Cybertruck, and we're going to really see how, you know, soundproof and you know, if her shrieking can break the windows or the sides.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
That's what I've heard. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's to be confirmed, though, because I don't think it's confirmed that Elon's the father. So
is it not?
I don't know. I guess none of them have confirmed that he's the father.
He doesn't want to take responsibility. You know, can we blame him? Well, are there any other records? Have you been listening to anything else, or has it been mostly the Tame Impala and Grimes records for the last couple weeks?
No, I've been listening to the part one of Moses Sumney's record.
Yes.
Which, you know, we both loved Aromanticism. I think that was your number one record of the year. That
it was.
Year, right?
It was. Yeah. It was something, it was really hard to, I think it came in like 11th on my top albums of the decade, somewhere like that.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how you feel about this. I feel a little like weird talking about it without listening to this too, but I guess we did that for Foals.
Yeah, this is becoming a thing, I think. The,
I know.
This,
1975?
Yeah, these two releases. 1975, their new song mentions Pine Grove in the lyrics. That was troubling in a way. you know, I've been traveling this last week, and I am so excited to, like, immerse myself in this album a little bit. I've listened to it a couple times, but unfortunately only in, like, kind of passive environments. Because I knew I just needed, talk about, like, his music is subtle, and Aromanticism took a while to grow on me, and I expect this will happen with this, but from what I've heard of it, it sounds amazing. And God, like, he's an one of my, probably artists that I'm most excited to see where he goes with this, with his, you know, the next few years in his career, and the fact that we're getting, you know, two albums from him. You know, it's not that long, right? It's like 35 minutes or something like that. So we're probably getting about an hour or so worth of music coming out in the next few months from him. So I would like to kind of spend a little bit more time with that and come back to that later. Same with, like, I'm interested in the King Krewe record, Man Alive. It's another one that I find his music to, like, need some time to grow on me too. And both those records coming out last week while I've been traveling, it's been hard to kind of see where I stand with them.
Yeah, it's funny. I have the same feeling about both of those. I get the feeling I'm going to love these records. And I listened to Man Alive, you know, a couple times, and I liked it more the second time I listened to it. Moses Sumney, like, I can already tell that there's like just like diamonds in this one. He's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, so is King Krule. I mean, it's just so unique. I'm kind of kicking myself for not getting tickets to see King Krule here. Kind of slept on those and they sold out. But I'm excited. I mean, what a beginning of the year.
It's been amazing. It really has. A few other records that, you know, I really like this year that I'm like, I'm still listening to because I feel like there's just not enough time for everything. This 070 Shake album, which I know we texted about a little bit on the Good Music label.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I don't think it'll be end up being my favorite album of the year, but it's super unique and for a debut, like really interesting and memorable. And I'm looking forward to see where she goes from there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what is the genre of that album. I mean, it's kind of futuristic R&B, which is, you could kind of say that for Moses Sumney too. It's a little bit more pop oriented than him.
Yeah, I like that album too. That was one of the first kind of like highlights of the year for me.
Yeah, and I'm still kind of going back to it. I don't feel like I've, you know, completely discovered the whole album yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been listening to, you know, you got a victory on me, Nick. You know this, but I've been listening to that Dive album from last year, Deceiver, a lot this year too. Yeah. I finally gave it its due, and it's really great. That album and New Hell by this band, Greet Death, I've been kind of getting this, like, shoegazy, but also really, like, good songs, like, getting my fix of that, because really good albums for their respective genres.
Yeah, I like both of those. Obviously, like, Dive, we talked about it in our top 10, but the New Hell, Greet Death album from last year is one of those albums that, you know, will maybe be on our list of, like, albums you discovered this year.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And it's definitely, like, a nice surprise. I really like it. I think the other thing I wanted to mention is that there's also a lot to look forward to, it seems, this year.
Yeah, Nick, maybe we should probably put out more podcasts. There's too much stuff to cover.
Yeah. you know, there's some Gorillaz releases we haven't talked about.
Yeah, they're doing the, what are they calling it? The
Song Machine.
The Song Machine, which is just, I think, a way to release songs not in album format over the course of the year. I don't know if they've given any indication of how many songs they're going to put out.
Yeah, I don't know either, but didn't they release a new one just recently?
Yeah, just this week.
So
there's been two songs so far, and they're really good.
We've received two Strokes singles, new songs from the Strokes.
Well, they have an album coming out in April, I believe.
Another great song by Perfume Genius is fourth upcoming album as well.
Yeah, Arseed Headdress is like that putting song. Album too. I think that, like, we're expecting music from Frank Ocean anytime. He's headlining Coachella. There's those 7-inch singles that are
getting one that I don't know I ordered, but
I mean, just, you gotta put on your tinfoil hat and receive signals from above when it comes to Frank Ocean. Nobody knows. What's really lit though is the Frank Ocean subreddit on Reddit. Like, they are extra when it comes to finding out anything and everything about what could be going on with Mr. Ocean.
Oh, I need to follow that. I don't.
Yeah,
I should.
It's pretty wild.
Some good reading.
I think there's a lot of major artists coming out with music this year. I think it's going to be one for the ages. I mean, 2020, I think, is going to bring out the best in a lot of people. I think, you know, this kind of the year 2020, everybody wants to be involved. Everybody wants to, you know, there's several. Bon Jovi's putting out an album just called 2020. I think he's not alone. So I think people are fired up and, you know, ready to give it their best shot this year.
Yeah, it's a great year to give it your best shot. I will say last one I kind of want to mention is the Carolyn and Rose album coming out. I'm pretty excited about as well.
Yeah, I liked her last album, Loner, a lot. I've been listening to that some recently too.
Me
So
too. It's
I'm
great.
anticipating that. I think it'll be a good record for
Yeah,
sure.
I agree. So yeah, a lot of stuff.
All right. Well, until we get to it next time, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Moses Sumney and King Krule. But this was Juice Box this week, Nick. Great talking to you once again.
Yes, good to talk to you too.
Until next time.
All right, see you, dude.
Bye.